Chapter 15, Incidents of Asylum Life. There is little in the wards to help one pass the time. All the asylum clothing is made by the patients, but sewing does not employ one's mind. After several months' confinement, the thoughts of the busy world grow faint, and all the poor prisoners can do is sit and ponder over their hopeless fate. In the upper halls, a good view is obtained of the passing boats and New York. Often, I tried to picture to myself, as I looked out between the bars, to the lights faintly glimmering in the city, what my feelings would be if I had no one to obtain my release. I have watched patients stand and gaze longingly toward the city they, in all likelihood, will never enter again. It means liberty and life. It seems so near, and yet heaven is not further from hell. Do the women pine for home? Excepting the most violent cases, they are conscious that they are confined in an asylum. An only desire that never dies is the one for release, for home. One poor girl used to tell me every morning, "I dreamed of my mother last night. I think she may come today and take me home." That one thought, that longing, is always present, yet she has been confined some 4 years. What a mysterious thing madness is. I have watched patients whose lips are forever sealed in a perpetual silence. They live, breathe, eat. The human form is there, but that something, which the body can live without, but which cannot exist without the body, was missing. I have wondered if behind those sealed lips there were dreams we ken not of, or if all was blank. Still, as sad as those are the cases when the patients are always conversing with invisible parties. I've seen them wholly unconscious of their surroundings and engrossed with an invisible being. Yet, strange to say, that any command issued to them is always obeyed, in about the same manner as a dog obeys his master. One of the most pitiful delusions of any of the patients was that of a blue-eyed Irish girl who believed she was forever damned because of one act in her life. Her horrible cry, morning and night, "I am damned for all eternity," would strike horror to my soul. Her agony seemed like a glimpse of the inferno. After being transferred to Hall 7, I was locked in a room every night with 6 crazy women. 2 of them seemed never to sleep, but spent the night in raving. One would get out of her bed and creep around the room, searching for someone she wanted to kill. I could not help but think how easy it would be for her to attack any of the other patients confined with her. It did not make the night more comfortable. One middle-aged woman, who used to sit always in the corner of the room, was very strangely affected. She had a piece of newspaper, and from it she continually read the most wonderful things I ever heard. I often sat close by her and listened. History and romance fell equally well from her lips. I saw but one letter given a patient while I was there. It awakened a big interest. Every patient seemed thirsty for a word from the world, and they crowded around the one who had been so fortunate and asked hundreds of questions. Visitors make but little interest and a great deal of mirth. Miss Maddie Morgan, in Hall 7, played for the entertainment of some of the visitors one day. They were close about her until one whispered that she was a patient. "Crazy," they whispered audibly as they fell back and left her alone. She was amused as well as indignant over the episode. Miss Maddie, assisted by several girls she has trained, makes the evenings pass very pleasantly in Hall 7. They sing and dance. Often the doctors come up and dance with the patients. One day when we went down to dinner, we heard a weak little cry in the basement. Everyone seemed to notice it. And it was not long until we knew there was a baby down there. Yes, a baby. Think of it. A little innocent babe born in such a chamber of horrors. I can imagine nothing more terrible. A visitor who came one day brought in her arms her babe. A mother who had been separated from her 5 little children asked permission to hold it. When the visitor wanted to leave, the woman's grief was uncontrollable, and she begged to keep the babe, which she imagined was her own. It excited more patients than I'd ever seen excited before at one time. The only amusement, if so it may be called, given the patients outside, is a ride once a week, if the weather permits, on the merry-go-round. It is a change, and so they accept it with some show of pleasure. A scrub brush factory, a mat factory, and the laundry are where the mild patients work. They get no recompense for it, but they get hungry over it.